Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 18th, 2024. Today is Monday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat and others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd. So they left him and went away. Here ends the reading. Remember, in our reading yesterday, we were at the end of Mark chapter 11, and Jesus and the temple authorities, the religious leaders, I kind of imagined that they are locked in this stubborn silence. The religious leaders have queried Jesus about his authority, and he has countered with a question that the religious leaders refuse to answer. And so there's this stone wall of silence. And then Jesus breaks the silence by telling parables. And that's where we pick up today in Mark chapter 12. But today's parable is hard for me to read. It is cruel, violent, and bloody. My sense of fairness is offended by the refusal of the tenants to uphold their contract with the vineyard owner. It seems they prefer escalating violence and resorting to murder over simply giving the owner his rightful share. I cannot countenance people conspiring to commit murder in order to take by force something that isn't theirs in the first place. The tenants, well, they were after more than mere profits from a single growing season. They intended to steal the vineyard for themselves. After all, the owner was far away. What was he going to do about it? Finally, by killing the owner's son, the tenants believed they were simultaneously sending a deadly message to the owner, "Don't come around here," and eradicating the heir to the owner's property holdings. In short, they believed they were ensconcing themselves as perpetual residents on the land with all of the improvements to the land that the owner had made. But one killing only leads to more killing. This is the human story. The religious leaders who heard Jesus tell this parable in the temple courtyard on Tuesday in Holy Week didn't need any help at all understanding the point Jesus was making. As Mark puts it, they realized that he had told this parable against them. No wonder they wanted to arrest Jesus. He had interrupted the temple economy by overturning money changer tables and driving out sacrifice sellers. Now he was telling a story which clearly cast them as the villains who would stop at nothing to maintain control over something that wasn't theirs in the first place. God owns the vineyards of truth, grace, mercy, and justice. and not anyone else. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus had already predicted his death three times directly to his followers. Here in Mark 12, he predicts it to the ones who will ultimately assist in helping to bring it to pass by employing a parable so thinly veiled that its meaning was hard to miss. And this is where things get complicated and fraught for us modern Christian readers. Texts like today's have been used repeatedly throughout history as texts of terror, texts used to justify unjustifiable violence towards Jesus' people, the Jews. As we get deeper into the events of Holy Week, not only in Mark's Gospel, but in our own annual observance of Holy Week as Christians, we must constantly remind ourselves that the conflict Jesus had with the religious establishment in Jerusalem was not some sort of multi-generational indictment which justifies the Christian persecution of and violence towards God's covenant people, the Jews. Such hate-filled and unjustified bloodlust may have reached its death-crazed zenith in the mid-20th century with the Holocaust, but make no mistake, it is still with us today. God have mercy upon us and on our world. Once we acknowledge the bloody implications misreading this text has had throughout history, we must then ask, how are we to read it as Christians, as the church, for our own time? What if the land-grabbing tenants are us? How are we claiming ownership of things that aren't our possession? Anytime any church begins to claim it is the final arbiter of who gets access to God's grace, mercy, and love, who gets salvation, who is in and who is out, that church is overstepping its authority. Anytime any church attempts to exact justice on God's behalf, it is overstepping its authority. The coming of God's righteous judgment doesn't require human intervention of any sort. The church's job in our world is the same as it's always been. Tend the ground, proclaim the good news. Be faithful examples of God's mercy, grace, and love. Remember that we are only passing through. God owns the world. We're just God's servants in it. As God's servants in the world, we have the responsibility to repair the shambles human prejudice, ignorance, and hatred have made of this world. We are enjoined to do our best to repair the breaches and bind up the brokenhearted. When we fail in our work, we ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness from those we've harmed, and forgiveness from God. We repent, and we begin again. We turn from the way of sin and death, and we turn towards the way that leads to truth and life. This is the Christian vocation. We ignore or forget that vocation at our own expense, and at the expense of the world around us. God have mercy upon us. Let us pray. Be gracious to your people, we entreat you, O Lord, that they, repenting day by day of the things that displease you, may be more and more filled with love of you and of your commandments, and, being supported by your grace in this life, may come to the full enjoyment of eternal life in your everlasting kingdom. through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.